Yes, grab a cup, grab a seat, and welcome on in to Coffee and Cornbread. Before we get to Auburn, it's time for Would You Rather Wednesday. Today's question, you're going to know exactly where my head at is this morning, but would you rather have a personal chef or a personal housekeeper? Fresh meals every day without having to cook or never having to clean your house. Again, that's a tough choice. I don't know. Is it a tough choice? I have a four-year-old, so I'm leaning towards the housekeeper. Not gonna lie. All right. Well, you can tell where my mind is this morning. Drop your answers in the comments and let us know why. All right. Let us catch you up on everything you've missed around the barn. One of the strongest endorsements that Alex Golish received on Monday of SEC Media Days before Auburn got to step up to the plate didn't come from inside Auburn. It came from Tennessee head coach Josh Heupel on this week's Top Button podcast. Charlie Five explained why that praise should have Auburn fans even more confident about the direction of the program.
There's really no reason why Josh Heupel would have anything negative to say about Alex Golish because, man, the impact that Alex had while he was at Tennessee was also incredible. You look at any offensive category you pick. Pick any offensive category from the last year that Alex Golish was there and compare it to where they've been since. You're almost 10 points a game difference. I think last year was the closest they've been. I think they got close to 39 points a game, whereas I believe it was in the 40s as far as where that 2022 season, as far as how many points they averaged per game. Passing yards, 2022. Rushing yards, it's up there. Passing yards per game, passing touchdowns, like just go down the list. They were the most explosive. They were the most scary. They were the most feared when Alex Golish was there. And so you couple all that in with, you know, that experience in the SEC. You couple that with the head coaching experience and the ability to turn around a program that's sort of in a funk and a super funk with South Florida. And then you hear the praise from SEC coaches and his SEC, I don't know if you want to call him a mentor. It just strengthens, I guess, the faith that I, and I think a lot of you too, probably have with Golish and what he can do at Auburn. Now, look, I get it that you got to see it. I get it that we haven't played football yet, but this is what we're talking about right now. We're talking about it's talking season. However you came across, however we fell into Alex Golish, a lot of the things that he's done and that he's said and that he's promised, I think are things that Auburn fans want to hear. And you're hearing a lot of the things around from other coaches about Alex Golish that you want to hear as an Auburn fan as well. So,
hey, at some point, the talking has to turn into wins. Everybody understands that. But when you look at Golish's track record from helping build one of the nation's most explosive offenses at Tennessee to flipping to South Florida into a bowl team after the disaster that was there before Golish, it's been incredible. What he did that with Florida to a bowl team overnight was absolutely incredible. And then you hear respected SEC coaches continue to praise his leadership. It's easy to understand why there's so much optimism around Auburn. The expectations aren't built on hype alone, though. They're not. Hype or Heupel, right? They're built on the resume that has consistently produced results. One of the biggest topics at SEC Media Days wasn't Auburn. It was Greg Sankey defending the SEC's moves to a 9-game conference schedule. And on this week's Landing on the Plains, Chandler Rutan explained why he believes the conference created its own problem and now has nobody else to blame.
One of the questions that SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey was asked today at SEC Media Days was, you know, pretty much if he felt, you know, the SEC would be rewarded with having, you know, a non-conference schedule, a 9-game conference schedule. And he has said that they have had unsatisfactory conversations thus far. And I mean, just like, what the hell? just from my point of view and my standpoint, and I'm sure everyone, you know, watching shares the same sentiment, you know, it's like you're the reason why we're in this predicament in the first place. Like, nobody tied your hands behind your back and made you make the SEC teams play a 9-game conference schedule. We were just fine at 8. And I know, you know, we want to see the best of the best play the best of the best. And with that, I agree. Like, it makes for great television, great games. But at the end of the day, what did it do for the league? Because at this point, the committee has said, we pretty much don't give a damn about that strength of schedule stuff. And every single SEC team is within the top 20 in terms of strength of schedule. And so we're going to beat up on each other the entire year. And what's the reward? Because just last year we had 5 teams in the playoffs with 8 conference games. It was just fine. And so this is not something the players voted for. This is not something the fans voted for. This is not something that, you know, even the coaches voted for. You got plenty of coaches in the SEC that who are not rocking with this whatsoever. And so you have a situation where a SEC team could have 3 losses and not make it because they didn't play in their conference championship game and they have 3 losses, opposed to a team that's in the ACC or Big Ten or whatever the case may be, and they have 2 losses. Well, Gregory, who are we to blame? And then now, you know, we're in a position now where he's at the podium and he's, you know, upset. And it's like, we're the ones who should be upset.
Man, I think this is an interesting take. Chandler's point isn't that the SEC shouldn't play great football, because they play great football week in and week out. It's if college football playoff committee isn't going to reward strength of schedule, then what's the benefit of making the path even harder? I've heard Greg Sankey on multiple media scrums during on Digital Drive this week, going to different spots, whether it's like Mike G of the War Report or some other areas, and they discuss and he talks about how, well, he's not sure. I guess we'll find out if the strength of schedule is going to work. That clear lack of confidence makes me nervous. So I understand why Chandler feels this way. And this debate's not going away anytime soon. The SEC wanted more marquee matchups, more television value, more revenue. But if those extra confidence games ultimately cost teams playoff spots, it's fair to ask whether that trade-off was worth it. And at the end of the day, does it actually take money away from the mouths of the SEC? Well, let's head into what we actually heard on Tuesday from Alex Golish and the Auburn players, because Alex Golish made a lot of headlines at SEC Media Days, but one answer stood out above the rest. On yesterday's Village Vice, I stepped in for Zach, Brad, and I stepped in and explained why Golish's confidence in Byron Brown may have been the biggest statement of the entire day.
Christian, I feel like that the national media, who hasn't had as much of a chance to hear him and watch him deliver, we'll get into some of the, like, the mechanics of it here in a little bit, the minutia, but some of the media who aren't as exposed to AG as Auburn media, I feel like there's going to be this rush of, wow, yeah, that was really impressive. Look out for this team. Look out for this guy because of the way that he delivered. And I want to start with the line that got my attention more than any other. Mike G asked a question about Byron Brown. And the question was, if we're talking about him as one of the best quarterbacks in the country at the end of the year, what has to happen between now and the season for that to be the conversation? Which I thought was a fantastic question.
Yeah.
And without belittling the question, Alex Golish began his answer with, well, Byron Brown is one of the best quarterbacks in the country. Now, it would have been easy just to let that go and just go on to answer the question, which he did go on to do. But there's this confidence, this earned confidence from Auburn's head coach and the quarterback from 3 years of productivity on the field and winning football games and winning processes, that he had to begin that answer with, well, Byron Brown is one of the best quarterbacks in the country. So according to his head coach, Auburn has one of the best quarterbacks in the country as they prepare for camp in 2 weeks.
I'll take it. And when I wrote my notes for this, that's the only thing I put in all caps because I knew it was so important. I mean, it was just, that was the biggest takeaway that I took from that is the established confidence he already has in Byron Brown. And look, I don't think we thought that that was going to be a lack of confidence, but the will, the fact that he's willing to go out on a national stage and make sure that everybody knows, like, oh no, we believe that he is one of the top quarterbacks in the country is exactly what you're looking for. I love it. You know, just feed it to me even more. This is where I stand. It's one thing to believe in your quarterback. It's one thing for your fans to believe in your quarterback. It's another when the head coach steps up onto a national stage and says, yes, without hesitation, this quarterback is already one of the best in the country. He didn't have to do that. His direction was towards identity. His direction was towards setting the standard. But he had to make sure. He could have let that one pass him by. But he had to make sure that the entire nation knew that he already believed that Byron Brown is one of the best quarterbacks in the country. Golish has coached Brown for three seasons now. He's seen the production. He's seen the work behind the scenes. Now he's putting his reputation behind him for the entire college football world to hear. The expectations are officially set. The standard's been set. The expectations have been set. Without hearing win-loss columns, without hearing if you win the Iron Bowl, without hearing if you make the college football playoffs, no, no. It's identity, it's structure, and it's belief in this roster. Now Auburn has to just prove it on the field. That's the only thing left. Alex Golish continued to deliver some of the strongest statements at SEC Media Days. And when it came, you know, to the discussion, he made it clear that Auburn is not measuring success through temporary goals. And on this week's Barnes Social Hour, Hunter and Graham explained why Golish's focus on standards have them convinced that Auburn finally has the right man leading the program.
We don't set goals. We set standards. I love that. I love that. I'm a big fan of that. Graham, what are your thoughts on that?
I think this was – now, let's to be honest, I haven't really watched SEC Media Days a ton until the last two-ish, 3 years. Kind of, I think, really when Hugh Freeze got hired, I started, you know, tuning in to him just because that's kind of when I got more into football and more into to really into Auburn. Right. But I – this was the best, hands down – like SEC Media Day interview, opening presser, whatever you want to call it, I've seen from an Auburn coach in a very long time. I mean, Hugh never did anything like what we just saw Golish do. I was blown away by the way he answered questions. Even his opening statements, I was like, oh my gosh, like, let's go. Like, I'm ready to run through a brick wall right now.
Yeah.
Like, you build a brick wall for me, I'm going to run through it. So absolutely blown away. Love the quote. Like we said, we don't set goals, we set standards. And I'm pretty sure the answer to that question was from a Alabama reporter. He kind of asked the question, like, what would you consider, like, to be a successful first year at Auburn? Like, what would have to happen for, you know, what are your goals in the first year at Auburn? That's when he came out. I was like, I don't have goals, I set standards. I was like,
yeah, he made the comparison of, like, whenever someone asked me, like, if I set a goal, he thinks of it as a, like, a New Year's resolution. Like, it lasts for a couple weeks, and then it kind of, you know, the show goes on without it, if that makes sense. And that made perfect sense. And then he drops that line, we don't set goals, we set standards. And I'm like, my God, take me to church, coach. My goodness gracious.
It's weird to say, but if you had to point at someone to say they won the media days, I'm going with Alex Golish. And I don't think that's a category you need to hang, like the recruiting class of 2027, although it's fantastic right now. We don't have to hang the banner back there next to my Jiffy cornbread. Okay? We don't have to do that. But what we have to do is just take the wins where we have them. And at this moment, we haven't had the opportunity to play a football game. Golish still has to prove everything on the football field. But this was another important step. For years, Auburn's lacked consistency, direction, clear standard inside the program, especially the past five seasons. But Golish stepped onto the biggest stage of the offseason and made it clear this is exactly the plan and how he's going to change it. He didn't offer some temporary goal for the first season. He did not throw out a specific win total to make a promise he may or may not be able to keep. Instead, he focused on building a standard that should last well beyond the first season. Now comes the difficult part, though. Auburn has to live up to the standard once the games begin. That begins in Atlanta against Baylor.
Hope you enjoyed this episode. Hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Make sure you check out the barn. We have lots of things dropping throughout the day. You can come on back here, hang out. And if you just need a little thing in your ear while you're working, you can always go check out the 24/7 live stream. We'll be live on Thursday for one of our live dives, Spin the Wheel. If you have any questions to add to Spin the Wheel, you can drop them in the comments in this video or any video, or you can hit me up on Twitter X at Christian S. Rao. Be sure to put them in for Thursday's live stream. All right, thanks for pulling up a chair. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Coffee and Cornbread. War Eagle.